Coming in hot, 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 Lisa shares her financial tips and strategies to build wealth, have fun with finances, and be debt-free without having a restrictive budget. From bankrupt to millionaire, Lisa knows what it's like to feel as if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Her unconventional money multiplier system is the very wealth protocol that enabled her to retire 2.5 years early, pay down $100,000 of debt in 6 months, and move to her dream home at the beach. Hey, hey, welcome back to this episode of I Date Money. I'm your hostess, Lisa Drennan, and today we have another amazing guest. She is the content queen. Sarah is an entrepreneur and writer based in Quebec City. When she isn't fiercely unleashing her true message via Facebook Lives or her podcast, Be the Media, she is running her online coaching business as an entertainer, speaker, and success mentor to coaches across the globe. With a new series of books over a decade in online business and several hundred product and event launches under her belt, Sarah is known as a content queen who just doesn't stop. She believes that you can have it all on your terms, so long as you're willing to get honest with yourself. And that is so true. Like, getting honest with yourself, so many people just kind of avoid themselves. And they're like, no. And you know, we forget ourselves and who we are and how we step into our true gifts and talents. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being here and for sharing your expertise. How did you get started into this online journey, this entrepreneurship?
So thank you so much for having me, first of all. I love getting to have all money conversations. They just fuel me and light me up inside. But yeah, I got into entrepreneurship on accident. I used to own a spa in Niagara Falls, Canada, and I was just dirt poor. I mean, I had no money. I was raising my kids on my own and I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how to market the business. So I had hired a marketing team at the time. I scraped together what felt like a ton of money at that time that I had to pay, you know, $5,000 for this marketing team that was going to come in and help me, which felt like so much money. And it was great. They were so helpful. They got really clear on the branding. They did some really beautiful like photos. So I had this like mood board and all this stuff. I had no idea what that meant at the time. And then they just handed me this like stack of papers and they're like, okay, here you go. And I went, what the heck do we do with this? Like, so when do we get started? And they said, oh no, if you want us to actually do it, it's going to be another $15,000. And I thought, no, my money stories were very different then, right? The money story was, I have no idea how to make that work. I can't do that. And so I went on this venture to sort of do it myself. So it was very much a DIY process. Took me many, many years to figure it all out, but it ended up turning into just this process of people saying, oh, hey, I saw your promo online. How did you do that? You know, I'm trying to like get graphics for my business. How did you make that? Or, oh, you've got so many likes and comments. How did that happen? So then I started giving advice, which ended up turning into a full closure of the business and just a transition into the marketing world. So it was probably the best money I ever spent accidentally. That felt like one of the worst moments of my life because I thought I am never going to be able to pull this off. And lo and behold, I didn't actually pull it off. I ended up selling the business. Learned a lot about that process. It worked out really well. And 18 years later, here I am.
Oh, wow. That's amazing to actually step into something that, you know, accidentally fell into your lap and to be able to make money, something that you absolutely love to do. So when you had this stack of papers handed to you, like, you're like, oh, okay, what do I do? So what did you do? Like,
I will be so honest. I hate to tell the story. I went on Fiverr.com and it said like, okay, so here's your post structure. Like Mondays you post this, Tuesdays you post this. I went on Fiverr.com and I said to somebody like, hey, here's what I need to do. And I need some content for this. So I was paying out $5 here, $5 there, which once I sort of got the hang of it, I realized that I could then sell on Fiverr. So I actually reversed roles and I started becoming the person who was making content for other people. Because of course, months into this process, I thought, okay, am I dishing out a lot of money with the $5 here, the $5 there? It really started to add up, which taught me this great lesson of I actually am making more money than I ever realized, right? I wasn't even aware. It was just that lack mindset, which led into, okay, wait a minute, I'm really spending quite a bit of money on this. I must be actually making more money than I realized, which turned into, I'm not really spending this appropriately, right? I know how to do it now. I either need to take it over or turn this into something that sort of makes money for me, which is exactly what I did. I launched a full-fledged marketing platform and grew my business from that and then transitioned into the coaching space and really just supporting from a, you know, how do we tie marketing and sales together to build this business that really supports and creates the legacy that people want to have and how they touch the world.
Yeah. And that's so beautiful. And understanding that, like, yeah, this was a blind spot that I had, but I'm going to work through this and figure out how to make this work. And I like how you said that, you know, like the $5 adds up. And a lot of times we just keep spending, you know, small amounts of money. And then we don't realize, like, oh, where's all my money going to? And people, this happens all the time. And when we realize, when we get to track our finances and we're like, well, wait a minute, I spent $5 20 times this month. No wonder I don't have any money because this is where it goes. And wait a minute, I could do that too. I can have these multiple income streams coming in. So, you know, all of us have blind spots in our business. What do you think is your biggest blind spot financially?
So I say at this point, it would probably be underutilizing staff. We just did this really great assessment lately with our staff. I run part of my company is a virtual assistant business, and I've taught over 10,000 virtual assistants. I built a school that provides free education. We help them get jobs, and it sort of started out as a hobby project that turned into a full-fledged business. But I did realize that a lot of the things that we're paying for, they're billing 30 minutes, it's only taking 10. And I'm going, how do we better utilize time or get a proper billing structure in place? And I think that as a lot of business owners grow and a lot of entrepreneurs particularly, it's harder to keep track of a lot of that stuff because we've got our hands in so many different things. So for me, just really getting clear of paying attention to the time versus money aspect of things, right? Where am I trading time for money? Where are other people that work with me trading time for money? How are we utilizing the time and the money? And just having a deeper sense of every number matters. And that's sort of been our motto this year. Like analytically, every number matters from the social media standpoint of it. And then every number matters from like, why is our bank account balance this? What are we paying ourselves? Has that grown and changed? And just really diving deep into that process.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And it's so true. When we think about, you know, time is money, like money is energy. Like that's why they call it currency, right? And a lot of times, especially if you're 9 to 5 and you're transitioning into a business, people are like, well, I get to go in and work and make this money. But if I do my own business, I get to make my own money and it's less time. But sometimes you end up spending more time trying to figure out how to launch the business. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs, especially virtually, they open up their doors to their virtual business with no plan in place. Everyone thinks they need marketing and sales, and you know they do, and you know client attraction and things like that, but they forget about their strong financial foundation. Like if you don't have the strong financial foundation in place, it all goes to pot, right? So when you think about when you first started, you said you didn't really know how to market this business. How did it hurt your finances as far as the business income goes in and getting clients and things like that?
So I think in the earlier days, we spent a lot of money on advertising and very little time and attention on customer retention. And not really looking at, okay, we've put this money into advertising for the business. How are we going to capitalize on it? We got people in the door. And I do definitely see this in a lot of businesses that I coach now. you got a client. So how do we upsell, cross sell, and continue to support that client so that you are doing it? But definitely in my earlier days, I was chasing new leads left, right, and center. I now know very differently. So a lot of it is about the nurturing process, the customer service process, and just really having world-class products and programs that, you know, support that journey, which has been super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and having the different income streams coming in, I love companies that have a lot of different multiple income streams coming in so that they can sustain their business. So when you offer different products or services, you're just not relying on that one thing. What is your favorite way to generate income?
So I do have multiple businesses, which I love that you touched on that. I really have tapped into the space of, instead of looking at life with like, how do I make money? How do I be wealthy? Right? Like, I'm just going to be wealthy. I've just decided that I'm a wealthy person. And so I'm not trying to figure it out anymore. And so I'm really tap into the intuition when things come to mind. I go, oh, this is a really great thing that we can like support our clients with. But I do heavily invest in real estate. That's been something that I have brought into my income streams. I started out doing crowdfunding for real estate. A lot of people in my audience would know the story. My first investment in real estate was $70, and I made a $6 return on it. And I was so happy. I was just so excited. You know, I made 76 whopping dollars, but I reinvested it. And so I had this property, and then I got the $6 return. I reinvested it. And then, of course, I would just gradually put whatever amount I could into these different crowdfunding properties. And now I do a little over $24,000 in money that comes in from properties that I don't have to touch and I don't have to deal with. And that is just, for me, such a powerful way to generate revenue, especially because at the time I didn't want to know anything about real estate. And so I really love tapping into things that provide an opportunity for me to teach, but also that don't require me to be teaching all of the time. So a lot of our programs that we have, we've turned into memberships. I recently published a book last year, and it's called 100-Day Journal Prompts. And then I literally just took the pages of the book, put them into a program, added a short 5-minute video clip with every one of them, and then I was able to resell that as an entirely different offer. And so this process of, you know, building the income streams, but really finding ways to repurpose things that I already have and then reinvest the money from that has been sort of my favorite way to focus on revenue generation and honoring my money.
No, I love that. And having a plan in place is so important. When you think about your goals for the next 12 months, what's your biggest financial goal?
It's a big one. So I call it the impossible goal, and maybe it won't be exactly 12 months, but my impossible goal is to be on the Forbes list, the top 10 richest women in the world. So after years of studying this list, the majority, if not all of the women who are on there, and I do not discredit them in any way, shape, or form. I'm sure the responsibility that comes with it, we all know that having money, you know, leads to more responsibilities and more management, but they've all inherited it. Or it's all been, you know, sort of married into. And so while they're out there doing really amazing philanthropic things, I really want to be somebody that can sort of reach that level and have done it on my own, right? Have built this, have crafted this plan. And, you know, I don't want to say put the blood, sweat, and tears into, because that's the manifestation I want to have. But structured the strategy and created a life that could give me the opportunity to be in a position to do that. So maybe not 12 months from now, I'm not sure I'll quite be there in 12 months, but I think this year for me is setting the foundation for who do I need to be? What do I need to embody? You know, just really checking in with myself. I ask every day, what do you need today? Like, what do I need today to fuel me so that I can go out and do the things that I need to do? So just really honoring that would be my 12-month goal.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Self-care is so important to managing money. I mean, partnering with money and being able to take care of yourself in the process is one of the keys to becoming wealthy. And, you know, so many have a different definition for wealth. I have clients who believe wealth is a tiny house on several acres of land, you know, with the mountains in the background and a lake. And other clients believe wealth is being able to travel around the world, right? So what's your definition of wealth?
So my definition of wealth definitely stems from what do I do with it, right? Like not just what can I have from it, but what is the life I'm creating, the legacy I'm creating. I love that I've been able to build a school, a virtual school that has provided education to over 10,000 people and we help them get jobs. All of that was, you know, money that I created my life and was able to pour out into something else. And for a lot of our VAs who are in the Philippines, their average salary is $3 an hour, and we pay them well above that. So not only have I been able to, you know, use it to build a beautiful life, I do travel the world. I am sort of just whatever I want, I can sort of have and go out there and do. And I feel really fortunate for that. But past that, the definition of wealth for me is like, how can I serve something far bigger than just having things? I love all the beautiful things I have, and I don't ever want to stop, you know, calling that stuff into my life. But I do really love the ability to impact the world in a different way than I, you know, didn't feel I could necessarily when I didn't have, this, you know, the wealth that I have now.
Yeah. So many of our money beliefs are deeply rooted from childhood. You know, we have these money stories. Most of us weren't taught finances. We kind of caught them when we grew up. What's the money story that plays in your head?
I can't afford this. Definitely. That was something that I heard a lot. So growing up with, you know, a single mom, multiple kids in the house, it was definitely the most common thing. Like, we can't afford this, or not right now, or maybe later. And those were a lot of the stories that I heard, that it was, as I was growing up, I definitely saw the pattern. I, you know, having kids now, I'm so conscious of what I say to them. It's, we can definitely have this. Let's plan how we're going to, you know, how we're going to have this, instead of you can't have it, try not to give them whatever they want, right? I'm trying to teach them, you know, you've got to work for things, or you've got to put yourself in a position where these things come to you and come easily to you, but also trying to be super mindful of that.
Yeah. And it's so important to teach the young kids how to manage money. You know, and finances is the foundation of what we do. We need money to live, to survive. And then we get to splurge, you know, when we do plan accordingly. You know, I love creating money buckets. So you probably heard of the money envelope system, just putting that electronically in the kitchen and saying, hey, let's plan for this trip. Let's go to Disney. Let's do this. And this is how we're going to save for it. And, you know, like when I taught my kids finances at the age of, you know, well, 5 was when they were introduced to money, but at 7, I gave them each their own little checkbook and they would get an allowance, and I would teach them how to manage their money and implement the money multiplier system. And, you know, they do really well with it as adults now, but it was fun because they understood that, you know, like if, you know, my daughter was really popular in grammar school. And then in high school, everybody turned 16 and everyone had a sweet 16 birthday party. You know, she had 50 parties to go to one year. And I was just like, I don't want to spend my money on 50, you know, 16-year-old birthday parties. It says, you're going to, you know, what's the dollar limit that we're going to spend? And you're going to help pay for this, you know, because you want to spend X amount of dollars. So, you know, back then it was $25 a gift. And, you know, after 50, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money in presents.
It adds up.
Yeah. And when you think about it, if you don't plan for it, and like, you know, the year she turned 16, I kind of knew everybody was going to have these sweet 16 parties. And the moms were like, well, we could just have a pact where no one buys anyone a present. And I'm like, well, that's no fun. I love getting gifts for my birthday. So let's get a gift, but let's plan on it. Like save for it. And they all had jobs and everything, but it was funny because, you know, setting aside that money specifically for gifts, you know, there was a little bit of resistance at first, but then it was just like, you know what, I get to share this with somebody that I treasure, that's special to me. And you know, and I get to pick out something that I know it's going to be really meaningful for them. So always your own plans for your future. How do you see yourself in your business in the next 5 years with your multiple businesses?
So the businesses are definitely in an expansion mode, which I feel super, super grateful for. I'm hoping to step out of some of them and replace it with, bringing in other people who can support a lot of the business processes. I love the idea of being, I always say there's like the doer, the manager, the visionary, and like I love the idea of being in the visionary mode. Here's my idea. Here's what I think is going to be the really great next thing for us. Manager, you go plan it, and then you just like get the doers and everybody you go do it. I'm just gonna, kind of, I really love being in that creative space. So I feel like in the next few years, that's really where I'm headed because I think that in that space, when you step out of the doing and the managing, and you're looking at it from what can I create? I think there's a lot more freedom and flexibility to pay attention to where does this go financially. I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, and I'm definitely guilty of it's hard while you're in the middle of doing it to be paying attention to the numbers all of the time. I have a visual sales board. I don't use a CRM. People think I'm so crazy. I have actual post-it notes with people's names, like literally people's names that are like, their prospect, a lead, there's an offer made, I need to follow up, like deal one, deal closed. And every day it's just like, okay, we're moving one name. Like if I move one name every day, this is great. And just sort of keeping that process. And so I love the idea of stepping out of the actual doing so that I can be more attentive to what are we creating, where are we going, and then how does that financial legacy play into it? Because I think there's going to be a lot more space to focus on that. I'm definitely sure there
Oh yeah, definitely want to plan for the financial
is.
legacy and then build that to multiply your income. So you don't use a CRM, you do everything manually. Tell us more about that. I'm curious.
I don't. So I used to use a CRM. We do have one for our VA business that somebody else manages, which is great. But when I'm building personal relationships, I don't love being on the computer all day. It's something that I have really, really strived for in the last 2 years to just sit down, get the ideas, put pen to paper. My team would tell you, she'll send 500 screenshots of like handwritten stuff and be like, oh, can you turn this into a PDF? Or, oh, this is like the next 6 weeks of blog topics. And I feel like I'm more creative when I'm not on the computer, when I do have a lot less distractions. I try to be only on the computer for about 3 hours a day, which when running multiple businesses is quite challenging. So I'll look at, got it right in front of me on the other side. I'll look at my visual sales board and go, who am I moving today? Right? If it's a follow-up with somebody, it takes 2 seconds to pop online or send a text message or send a quick email like, hey, so and so, loved our conversations the other day. Just want to do a quick follow-up. Where are you at in the process? Whatever that may be, and then jump back off. But I've done a really great sales activity that day. So as long as I'm moving somebody forward, I feel like I don't need to be moving 500 people all at the same time, although I'm sure a lot of business owners would disagree. It's not how I want to build a business. I'm not in a space where I feel like I need to have that much pressure on me anymore. Although if I'm going to get to Forbes, I probably should start putting a little more pressure. It may be necessary, but I'm going to get other people in there who can do that. So that's part of the process. Yeah. So I just love just like, who am I going to focus on today? Plus, people have really said to me, I love how much attention you have given to this process. I feel special, right? I feel noticed. You definitely heard me. You were really paying attention. And that to me, that's just such an important piece of building my business, is that that's there. And so when I figure out how to duplicate that, that somebody else can come in and give that, maybe we'll switch to the CRM, but for now it's not happening.
Yeah. Well, it's very creative, and I know I agree that personal touch is so important, especially with all the AI and the assistants that, will pop in as the person, and all of a sudden you're not really talking to the person, and it gets to give you kind of that icky feeling. So what's your favorite way to generate leads?
I do a lot of networking. Actually, I will share this. This is one of the things that this year, we started at sort of November, so pre this year, that has turned into just like the most beautiful lead generator. Every single day we do a social media post and we just take one person who has liked our post or commented on it and send them like a very simple but heartfelt message like, hi, Lucy, like you like my post today. I want to thank you so much. You know, it takes time to put content out there. I love putting content that resonates with people. I really appreciate you showing up. And then just, you know, we should connect more, right? And I have built so many really great relationships out of that. We do paid ads for some of our programs and different things, but I do really love this personal sort of touch and connection. And I would say, probably every other day, we have moved somebody into a program or pipeline in some capacity. And so it has been such a simple way to just, hi, I see you. Thank you for being part of my world. Plus, it boosts me up in the algorithm, right? Every time I connect on that level with somebody, the algorithm is like, oh, she's being social. She's being really social today. And so now my stuff keeps popping up in these people's feeds and they keep saying to me, oh my gosh, you're popping up everywhere now. Great. That's so beautiful. I'm so happy. But now my content is just continuously nurturing them. So it's definitely been a simple but really great strategy that's worked.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So in all that you said, you've been in business for around 18 years and you have multiple businesses. Tell us about each business.
So the first business is real estate. So I mentioned that a little bit. I started through crowdfunding and then ended up purchasing some of my own properties. I've done some flips and things over the years, opened some Airbnbs, turned into this process where people who want to get into developing real estate, but either don't have the money or don't really know how to do it yet. So you're brand new investors, people who kind of wake up and go, oh, I'd love to try that. And I'm like, no, please don't. Like, let's learn first. They can invest a certain amount. So I take a group of people and let them invest a certain amount into a property. We purchase the property through the company and then build out the entire plan, work it backwards, but let them be involved in that process. So, okay, we're going to do contractors. Like, everybody find three contractors. Let's learn how to vet a contractor, right? Let's learn about land development and let's learn about all these different things. So they get to be part of the process. And then it turns into an Airbnb or a resale, and then they get a percentage of that. So that's been something that's been very, very busy over the last few years. A lot of people are like, oh, this is really cool. I want to try this out. And then I have the virtual assistant business that started out as a hobby project and turned into a full-fledged business. We have 74 employed VAs right now, which is great. And we are growing that every single day. So people are constantly messaging me. Oh, I have several of them to get back to. Constantly messaging that they're looking for some support with, you know, who can come in and guide their business that way. I do retreats yearly. So I host 4 different 7-day retreats throughout the year. And so that sort of morphed into its own space. And then I'm an author of 17 different books. So writing is definitely my passion and my hobby project. And then I obviously do coaching and consulting. So that would be, I would say real estate is more the primary that's taking up most of my time right now, but I am trying to get into this process of stepping out of the businesses a little bit. So in order to do that, I actually have to do it.
That's awesome. So when you say coaching, are you coaching sales strategies or business coaching?
So the coaching is really the process of like the alpha legacy leader. And so alpha being not so much that you're leading a pack of people, but more the ability of how do I lead myself? And then how, like through leading myself, how will others become part of my vision? And so it's sort of the inner work. And then the definition and clarity of what do I want my legacy to be? How am I going to build that? Which is often the business side of it, right? So how will my business sort of support building this legacy? How will I have the brand messaging behind that that really gets that message out there? How am I going to partner and connect with all of the right people? Obviously, that's an important piece of building a legacy. And then the leadership part is really the authority marketing. So how do I become the known person on the internet? How do I step into that in my industry so that people want to come work with me instead of me having to go chase leads, which I'm very familiar with from earlier days in business? Instead of chasing leads, how do we get people to come to us and how do we sort of support that version? So that program is really composed of three separate components that support getting people out there. And then the podcast really ties into that being like, being in the media in whatever facet, whether that's talking about your legacy, whether it's, you know, a charity or something that you are supporting or connected to, and like, how do we get media exposure for that to like raise us up as like philanthropic leaders, or just genuinely getting the exposure that we need. So that program is sort of the main component of what we do in the coaching aspect. And it's primarily entrepreneurs that are coming into it. I have had some people lately that are wanting to shift out of their corporate jobs, that are wanting to sort of come in and go, you know, I want to build a business. I already have a business plan, but I'm not wanting to spend the time, you know, doing this backwards. So what's the actual step-by-step process that I need to sort of get my brand message out there, get the exposure, figure out what my programs and launches are and all of that stuff.
Awesome. That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing all that. So in your, you know, I'm sure you've gotten lots of advice about running your business and your personal finances. What's the best advice that you've received, that you've implemented, that you can share with the audience?
That's an easy one. And I still do it to this day. It is save some, spend some, invest some. So every time money comes in, it's, you know, first is business expenses. Let's cover our business expenses and salary. I pay myself first. Well, I pay my staff first and then me, but right. And then after that, everything is save some, spend some, invest some. And so whatever that amount is, and it definitely fluctuates having multiple businesses and, you know, different times and just different economy states. But that has been a practice. So I'm always honoring myself. To me, there's no point in making money if I'm not going to enjoy it. I love to make money, but I also love to do things with that, right? So saving some is just really getting that foundation set up for the future, right? And not necessarily the long-term future, more the short-term future. Like you were mentioning with your kids, oh, you want to, you know, have money for all these birthday parties, let's plan for it. So that's usually weekend getaways with the kids and just things like that, or you know, they wanted a new dog. So, you know, we're going to save for the new dog. And then investing is that long term, right? Where do I want to be 10, 15 years from now? And so setting up the investment for that. So that's definitely hands down the best advice I've ever received and ever received and implemented with great success.
Yeah. And it's so perfect. It's like my money multiplier system. You know, when you allocate the percentages, you create the money buckets and the goals, like, you know, what is your goal? What's your income goal? And reverse engineer it. Yeah. Like, what do I need to do? And if you have multiple income streams coming in like yourself, you know, you can allocate that and really make a nice profit. You know, and I'm all about owners hop first, like cutting yourself a paycheck first before anyone else gets paid. And, you know, setting aside money for your operating expenses is key to multiplying your money. And when you do set that money aside, be sure it's in a high yield savings account so that it's generating more income. And then you get to invest it, you know, in long term. And real estate is one of the best things to invest in, like, you know, all time, even in 2008, when the market crashed, it was still a good investment. That's not going to change. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being here, for sharing your expertise. What's the best way for our audience to connect with you?
So I spend the majority of my time when I'm online on Facebook. I have not mastered TikTok or Snapchat, although there are plenty of people on our team that know how to do it. You will not find me there. I do have them, but I don't personally use them. So definitely Facebook. If you just search Sarah Boldry, I'm the only one. So I will pop up. I love when people just check in and say hello, whether it's just to pick my brain or if they're looking for any support, you know, whether it just be tools that they can use. I've got lots of them from 18 years of doing what I do.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We'll include the links in the show notes for those of you listening. Please check it out. Go find Sarah on Facebook and get into her world. And for those of you who are looking to activate wealth, find your money partner at idatemoney.com and see who you're going to partner with. You know, because there's seven archetypes there and you might recognize some of those in yourself, but the one that you want to partner with is the one you want to be more like. And Ian, the is really popular right now. He's gotten chosen seven times just yesterday. So go check that out. And remember, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it's what you do with it.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Give us a five-star review and share it with your friends. Get ready to activate wealth. Be the next millionaire with a simple adjustment of your finances using an energetically aligned money multiplier system. You get to build wealth by partnering with money. It's time to have fun with finances. Pick a date. The link is in the show notes to book your wealth activation call where you will get the one solution to multiply your money. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.